This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. So glad you're able to join me today. And we're continuing our series, Jesus Paid It All. Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Glory to God. And so we're looking firstly at how Jesus paid for peace. And again, peace is such an elusive thing if you don't know Christ, because invariably you always think, I'll find peace when. And when you get to there, wherever there is, it's amazing how it might bring happiness. It might even bring euphoria, but it doesn't bring lasting satisfaction. And it cannot bring true peace, because peace only comes through Christ, the Prince of Peace. And whatever happiness or euphoria you experience with the breakthrough, the desire, the blessing, whatever it is, it always wears off. And inevitably, you end up back in the same place again of longing for something. And I think Solomon was a perfect example of this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be. That which is done is that which will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new, it has already been in ancient times before us? This is the voice of a man, I believe, that's disillusioned, a man that's, you know, been to the heights and the depths and experienced everything the world has to offer and still not happy, still hasn't found peace. Verse 14, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. And chapter 2, and again, I said in my heart, verse 1, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great, I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them, I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house, yet, yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. And you do get the sense that maybe there was a degree of narcissism, you know, with this man, that he was just living a very fleshly life. And again, just as a reminder, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's a fleshy man in spite of the wisdom God gave him. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Can you grasp the wind? Can you hold the wind in your hand? Of course not. So too, all of this pursuit of happiness and pleasure and satisfaction, it brought nothing, ultimately. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Just for the sake of time. Verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And again, it's this realization that no matter what you accumulate, no matter how much you gather, you have to leave it all behind you. Verse 19, and who knows whether he will be a wise or a fool, yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and which I've shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. And so again, as I said, this is the voice of a jaded billionaire. This world cannot satisfy us. Only God can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. And you know, the paradox is that indulging your desires won't make you happy. it only serves to highlight the emptiness of life. And I believe King Solomon is an illustration of this, because it's all in vain. If Jesus is not Lord, then all is lost. Because like Solomon, if you look to the flesh or the world to satisfy, you will be disappointed. Failure and frustration is guaranteed, because you do not understand that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and peace therefore cannot be found outside of him. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And this is his name, by which he will be called Wonderful Counsel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Job 5 and 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus declared that we would face difficulties, but in spite of the tests and trials, victory is assured. As his followers, Jesus assures us of two things, trouble and triumph. Even though we live in a fallen world with many opportunities to be fearful or anxious, peace has been paid for. Because as 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says, we are kept by God's power. Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. We are under the blood. How can we worry or be afraid? Peace is our portion. We choose peace. And I think Psalm 91 illustrates this beautifully. Verse 3, and it says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge of you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And so here we see all sorts of dangers and demons and devils listed, and yet we can have perfect peace. Hallelujah, because Jesus paid it all. He is our Savior. We are under his blood. Glory to God. How can we worry or be afraid? Peace is our portion. In every situation and circumstance, we choose peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Because through Christ, we can enjoy a peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing. So here the Bible says, you have no grounds to be anxious, even in a situation where you should be anxious. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But it doesn't just say deny your problems or ignore the challenges or trials. It says bring them to the Lord in prayer. Just like that old song, take it to the Lord in prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you know that there is a peace that passes understanding that we can access as children of God? It's a peace that comes through Christ, the Prince of Peace. This is why Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace has been paid for at the cross. Never forget that. Peace has been paid for at the cross. Colossians 1, 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things in earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. How did God make peace? Through the blood of the cross. Through the blood that Jesus shed at the cross, Christ purchased peace. Jesus paid it all. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus paid for peace. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Redeemer. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCBR. God bless you.